Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Blog Talk Radio, we are here, we are back. It must be Friday, it must be 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because now is the time where two dudes, with all dude respect, have a conversation about something. And we don't know always where it's going to go, but we have an idea, and we'll just get it rolling. This is Jim Ellis here on the West Coast. We have Rick Wright on the East Coast. How's it going, Mr. Wright?
It's going great. Happy St. Paddy's Day to you, Jimmy Ellis.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Ellis, that sounds very Irish to me. I guess my grandpappy, he came from Belfast. That's in the Northern Ireland where they have rubber bullets and battles, things like that. What about, now Wright sounds, is that German? What is that?
No, it's actually, it's like British, English. But it's my, it's funny, the story that I get is my grandfather's father was from the north also, a Northern Irishman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe technically on the island, technically Irish, but in the predominantly British section, I guess it would be.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe our relatives, like, hung out at the bar and had their own little show, but it was only those two talking, right? It wasn't broadcast. So now we've
got some little dungy pub, both drinking whiskey, probably fighting about some
talking
shit.
Talking about
or discussing.
Betrayal.
Call it discussing
or
fighting.
Or fighting, yeah. Have you ever been to Ireland?
I have.
Which parts did you go to?
You were there too?
Yeah, where did you go?
I spent 2 weeks in my my early 30s in the north. I stayed in a town called Bangor, which is a great little sea town. It was awesome. I basically stayed there for 2 weeks. We stayed with I grew up in Jersey City. I was born in Jersey City, and my parents had friends that were from Ireland. They actually came over here, and they became naturalized citizens and great folks. Still friends with them to this day. And they were going over. My mom says, you know, Maureen said, if you want to come, you can come over. And it was great. We stayed at her relatives, and every single night, because the Americans were in town, I basically drank for 14 nights straight. I came home, my liver hurt. But the thing is that I really got a good understanding is, you know, what goes on in Ireland and you know, why they say people, you know, from Irish descent drink stuff. Like, they like to go out. They like to hang out. They go out during the week, and from, like, you know, 18 to 92, they were at the bar and they were drinking, and it was a great time. I'll never forget. It was great. We did end up going down to Dublin for a couple of days, and that was fun. And I got to see the Guinness Brewery and all that good stuff. But, but yeah, and a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. And what was great was I went in the summertime, and it was one of the warmest summers they had. And it was absolutely awesome.
What year was that?
Oh, I don't know, man. Jeez, I'm trying to think.
I was there in 1994.
Jeez.
Flew into Dublin, and then I rented a car. And just driving is great in Ireland because all these open roads, but getting out of Dublin is forever. You have to drive on the other side of the road, and the fast lane is the slow lane, and you find out when people are honking behind you because you think you're in a good place driving slow. It's incredible. I mean, it's so much green. I mean, you know, it's just so, it was kind of cool because it wasn't a rainy season. I was like, oh man, you caught the 6 days or it didn't rain.
Yeah.
Like a record.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Cliffs of Moher? The cliffs?
No, I did not. I did go to Giant's Causeway though, which was really cool.
What's that? I don't even know what that is.
The Giant's Causeway is a volcanic, and don't quote me on this. I'm pretty sure that it's a volcanic It's on the coast. It's this volcanic formation of stones, and they're all hexagon shaped, and it looks like they're stacked. It's phenomenal. It looks like it's man made, and there is what do they call that? When you're there's a story about it, but it's not a limerick. Because a limerick is like a funny poem or something. But it was folklore that there was this giant Finn McCool, and Finn McCool was from Scotland, and another giant from Ireland stole his chick, and Finn McCool got all pissed off, and he chucked all those stones, and that's where all those stones got there, because Finn McCool was all upset and threw these stones, and it's cool. You know, cool stuff. A lot of history over there. And then also I made it to the Bushmills Whiskey Factory. And unfortunately, I couldn't do a sampling because I was so hungover that day. but I did end up drinking that night. So,
you know, there's so many, if you're driving through Ireland, there are so many bed and breakfasts. Like every turn you make, bed and breakfast, bed and breakfast. And these are people's homes. I'm not always, but the place that I stayed, I remember one day I stayed, it's like, it's someone's house. So, and they invite you in. It's not like, well, certain parts of the United States where it's like nobody even trusts your neighbor, let alone some stranger driving through. They let, you know, I'm renting a room in their house for a day, having breakfast with them. It's a family. And then I'm out in their backyard playing soccer with the kids. And I remember thinking, this is so surreal. Hopefully it's still that way, you know. So much trust, so much, I don't know, community. It's good stuff.
Yeah, great people. It was just the people were just so nice. Because every time we went to this place called, like, the TA Club, which is, like, our Elks. And, you know, everybody came out from the town because it was, like, the Americans were home. And, you know, it was, like, just strangers and people coming up to you. And it was just so cool. And, you know, and like I said, it was, like, 18 to 92, you know, and the way they talk. And then every night we ended up back at where we were staying, and we were doing, not every night, but most nights we ended up back at where we were staying, and they did sing-alongs. So they were, you know, it was more beer and no one's going to bed and they're up late just singing songs. And
yeah.
It was just awesome. Like, you know, the color green, you know, how they always say that, just, you don't really get that until you go out there. And, I definitely go back. I love it. I want to go to Scotland. I do want to go to Scotland. I've been to the UK a couple of times, which was awesome. And I've been to Ireland once, and I'd love to go. I'd love to go back to all three. Great, great spots. Great people.
Did you travel alone or were you with friends?
It was funny. UK one time with some friends, a guy who actually lived there. I worked with him. It was great. Another great hookup where we went around and got to see, you know, firsthand all the cool stuff. And then he was from Wales, which I didn't even know was another country. And we went back to his house, like his, where he grew up and his family, and they treated us nice in some local pubs in his town and just got to sightsee but firsthand. And then the other time I went with my mom and my aunt because my cousin was going to school there and we went to go visit her. So we went for 5 days and that was action packed, did a ton of shit, saw a couple plays, went to Avon, went to Bath, and then in Ireland I went with my mother and her friend, and that's, it was just the two of us.
Sweet, awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
first,
I'm very very proud of the Irish.
One beer.
Three things I'm proud of the Irish. One is this sense of social community, you know, friendly. I get that vibe. Two things is silliness. There's a certain, I think of Conan O'Brien, just like absolutely not taking themselves too seriously. And the third thing is they so not take themselves that seriously that I don't think you can make fun of that nationality. Like there's so many nationalities that are like, oh, don't say that. You're a racist. But, you know, just think of Conan O'Brien, you know, that late night talk show host where he's like making fun of, oh, I'm a leprechaun. I just don't know how you would make fun of Irish people. I mean, maybe they're drunks. overly friendly. I don't know, but I just don't think they see. I don't know. They have a certain vantage point that seems light. Yeah, maybe it's all the rain. I don't know, but
yeah.
Anyway, just to be racist there, racist in a good way.
Yeah. No, and again, it's very, you know, very lighthearted. Being Irish, you know, being Irish, I've heard every drunk joke there is, you know, and no, it never ever bothered me. And, you know, I'm like, that's funny, you know. And then I'm like, now I get why, because they, you know, it is a big part of the culture. And probably when, you know, a lot of the Irish came over here, it was, you know, they really ramped it up and had some, you know, shenanigans. Which is, you know, but it's all good. Like you said, they're just good people. Give you the shirt off their back and just, anyway. So, all right, so what do we got? Today is, we got a couple topics. So we talked a little bit about St. Pat's.
Yeah, so we covered St. Patrick's Day. That is today. Are you wearing green, by the way? Or? Nah.
Nah. Like today I will go and have, just to finish this up, I will go have corned beef and cabbage because I love corned beef and cabbage. I don't eat it all year, but I will go have it. You know, there's a place by my house called the Firkin Tavern. The Firkin Tavern, which is it's a small cask with that holds beer, and they do good corned beef and cabbage. So I'll go there, corned beef, cabbage, potatoes. Some maybe if they give me rye bread, I'll make a little sandwich. And but yeah. That's what I do. Yeah. I'm not going to drink just because I have to.
Yeah. I saw one of our buds online on Facebook. He's like, oh, my gosh, it's corned beef and cabbage day, but it's also Lent, and I'm giving up meat. What do I do? So my wife brilliantly looked up, you know, a vegetarian version from PETA and sent that link over. mock meat. So.
Yeah, I think the bishop actually gave some kind of, I think they call it a dispensation.
Oh. Don't
quote me on that shit. That's coming from the depths of my... and for today, that Catholics can eat corned beef.
Oh, they're giving a reprieve.
Specific. Yeah, it was specific for corned beef. It's funny, I remember back in the day, used to never eat meat on Fridays. Then one day I woke up, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I not eating meat, you know, just because of, you know, some, you know, I didn't even know why anymore. So, I don't need the disposition today. I'm going to have my, corned beef and enjoy it.
You are cleared. You are pardoned. You are cleared. Yes.
But I am cleared.
The other topic, discussion was this, the idea I came up with around this Ides of March. Now, the 15th of March, it's 2 days ago. And there's this very famous phrase, beware of the Ides of March. And that's from a Shakespearean play, Caesar. Or maybe it's called Julius Caesar, but anyway. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with this piece of history where Julius Caesar was murdered on March 15th. And I guess there was a one of those mystic type, I can't remember, chorus or, you know, somebody in the play that was saying, beware, like warning Caesar about the Ides of March, which is March 15th. So according to history, not a play, but according to history, Julius Caesar was murdered on March 15th, 44 BC. So that's a few years ago. And that made way for, like, all this different other history, you know, the fall of the Roman Empire and things like that, ultimately. But what happened was, the big thing that happened was one of his buds, not a true bud, not a true dude, was part of the assassination plot. And, yeah, so what Caesar ends up saying to Brutus, that was his bud, Brutus was, et tu, Brute, meaning, you know, something like, you too, not you too. Like, you betraying me too. So, I don't know. So the idea was we would cover a little of this topic of betrayal. What is it?
What was his name?
You know,
Brutus?
Brutus. Sounds like a dog name.
Yeah, so, that'd be a good dog name. Come here, Brutus.
And then when it pees on the floor, you go, "Et tu, Brute?" Betrayed by your own dog.
Brute.
So anyway, so I it's a fascinating topic to me. I've actually been writing about it because I've been feeling a little bit of stabbing in the back recently. You try to live an honorable life. You do the right thing. And then if someone gets a wild hair, you know, if they're spiteful, they might just go after you. And it's very depressing. I'll just tell you the truth, man. It's depressing. It's heartbreaking. And you got to live in the world with all types of personalities. And sometimes they're not up to snuff. But the real betrayal for me is when you have befriended someone or there's a sense of trust or unity, and then they go against that. I just asked you straight out. Can you recollect like times where you have felt betrayed?
Yeah, it's funny because I had to think about this before. I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about betrayal. I'm like, but I'm trying to think, like, is betrayal? Does it have to be somebody who's close to you, or could it just be any human that's like stabbing you in the back? Or is it
way,
like betrayal of trust? You know, I thought about it, and I thought all these questions started coming up. Like, I went to eviction court today, you know, for two people. And, you know, right now they're betraying, you know, I guess there's some betrayal to the contract that we signed into, that we provide them a good, safe home, and they, you know, and they pay their rent. So, you know, I don't know. Does that count? Because if that, you know, if that's the case, you know, I have one of them is literally destroying the house while I'm trying to remove them by not reporting major leaks, and they have a dog that's using the basement as a bathroom, and I'm powerless, man. Until I get the constable there to remove them. Fortunately,
constable.
Yeah, we'll just the sheriff. Fortunately, I texted her and let her know that we're expediting everything, and she's like, "I'm leaving today." I'm like, "All right, good." So, but you know, that's a blatant betrayal. We delivered five months ago a brand new property, pretty much, that was totally rehabbed, gorgeous place, huge, beautiful, and she gets a dog, and different things go sideways in her house and her life, and she just treats the place like it's a disposable house. So that's but here's the thing. It's not really eating me, because it's sort of par for the course. You know, it's some, you know, there's great times and then there's some shitty times, and I'll absorb it and get it done, and I'll move forward and take the lessons. And so that's the betrayal that comes to mind.
Yeah. Well, that is a definite betrayal. In fact, the definition, betrayal is the breaking or violation of a presumptive contract, trust, or confidence by that produces moral and psychological conflict with a relationship. Well, that's definitely a betrayal. But since it's not eating at you, to me that says that there was not a friendship, a connection, a bond with this person beyond business. Right? So
yeah.
Or was there?
No, I didn't. I met her when we signed the lease, and you know, my spidey senses tingled a little bit. But I hoped for the best, you know, because everything else checked out, and you know, it just came. And again, there was some unfortunate things. She had a roommate. They moved out. Someone was supposed to move in. They didn't move out. She got in a car. You know, there was a couple of things that happened. So, there was no friendship or connection that way. And I guess because it was business, it didn't hurt. I'm trying to think of when. I know it comes to mind. I do have a good example. A man in my circle was getting into business with another man. And when he said that, I straight up told him, "Man, I don't think that that's a good idea. I don't trust this guy." Literally sitting and waiting for an inspector. I remember the day. It was in front of it. I remember the property I was sitting in front of. So this must be pretty tight for me then. 10 minutes later, the guy who I just told the guy to not trust calls me and says, hey, why are you telling him not to trust me? Hmm. So I said something to protect my friend, right? And he's my friend. He's in my circle, but he's my friend. And he went and literally, like, as soon as I hung up the phone, went back and told this guy that what I said. And then the guy calls me up. Hmm. And, of course, the guy was in our circle too, so I just let him have it. I said, I don't trust you, man. I go, I don't believe you do things the right way. I don't trust your word. And I probably gave him a couple examples. And that was it. And I didn't get upset that he knew that I knew, because I didn't really give a shit. And I don't really deal with him anymore, because, you know, his true colors came out, and it came out to the other guy too. But I was, you know, I was pretty pissed off, and I felt hurt that my friend would just go back and just say that to him. And then the guy would call me, you know? So I guess that's a betrayal.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that's when they hurt, is when there's a connection, there's a friendship. You've gone beyond business. Like, it's not just business, it's personal. I mean, it's something real that matters. And then they go against that. It breaks something more than just a contract of a stranger. And it hurts, you know? I had a similar... I had something happening at a division meeting. You know, we're just, for our audience's information, we belong to Mentor, Discover, Inspire, men's international organization. It's all throughout North America. So I'm over here in San Diego, a division meeting, and we do some goofy stuff, some funny stuff. It's all confidential. It's like, nothing's supposed to get outside of that circle so that we feel safe and free to say anything. Because especially in these days and time, it's a mess, you know. It just gets crazy, the political correctness. So to feel free to share anything, you got to keep it confidential. Well, somebody in a division meeting ends up telling another person about something that I had shared, and I was like, it was devastating. It's like, I can't believe you did that. And the worst part was, he didn't own it. He's like, well, yeah, and like, he wouldn't do anything. Like, I couldn't give him something to make up for it. He's like, no. I don't want to be punished by you. It's like, oh, my God. It was so painful, that kind of betrayal of trust. And then not owning it, you know, it's just such a very painful.
Well, let me ask you this, because that happened to us in our division, a guy, and he got booted out. We hold confidentiality, man. That's like, that's to create a safe space. You know, the word confidentiality comes from the root, you know, Latin root word, confidelis, with faith. And that's the way we explain it. You know, you can say whatever you want here. Now, we did get into some legal shit. Like, if a guy comes in a circle and goes, listen, man, I just fucking killed my neighbor and he's in the trunk of my car. at that point, now we are all accessories to what happened or what's going on, and hiding information. So that's a whole different story. So if anybody ever says, well, what can I cannot say? Say, listen, you know, if you cop to a crime in this circle, you know, you're putting us all in, you're bringing us into that with you. So there's probably, you know, somebody's going to make a call, you're probably going to get knocked in, you know. But if you break down and say, you know, hey, listen, I had a really bad, you know, experience as a child, you know, where, you know, a friend, my father's friend, whatever, was doing shit to, you know, like men who can actually go there and do that. You know, you had to create that space. And the only way you do that is by making sure that, like, no one can say anything. So a betrayal of confidentiality, and we raise our right hand at every single meeting to say that we agree to it. So is that man still in your division?
Yeah, and I even went to
Wow.
It was, like, put on me, like, well, Ellis, you know, just clean it up with him. He wasn't willing to play. And so I went I brought in the division coordinator. I'm like, really? This is just going to be okay? And I love hearing what you're saying, that at the division level, it wouldn't be accepted. Like, no, he's got to, like, clean that up. So I felt like I was alone. I was the one injured, wounded, and now I'm the one who's got to deal with all of it with somebody who doesn't want to own it. It was just, what a drag. I mean, we did have a bigger powwow later, you know, the coordinator and some others came out. But yeah, that kind of wound, it's a tough one. And I know a lot of people think of betrayal around their relationships, like infidelity, like that's a big one.
Yeah.
any kind of abuse is a betrayal of trust, and that's the ones that really hurt. I don't know. I remember my first one of my first betrayals. Also, Santa Claus. I think those kids are go, what? What are you saying? It's not. Are you saying that Santa's not real? What? How could you? I think there's some of that. Like I was like led down this path. The first betrayal. Though I remember somebody stole my Pop-Tart when I was a kid, and I was just like hurt because you know you just trust the world. You know the world's a beautiful place. You have your lunch bag on the side of the you know on the floor on the side, and no one's gonna touch you. You open up your bag, and the Pop-Tart is gone. Oh no. How could the world be this way?
Oh, no.
It was
you know
a drag.
What? Looking back on it, man, like, I was a pretty good, like, I was a good kid. It might have been all the Catholic, you know, guilt that, you know, punishment, you know, because those commandments, man, my first 8 years of Catholic school, I went to a hardcore Catholic school. And holy shit, man! They were like, if you go like Friday afternoon, if you left, and you have mortal sin on your soul, and God forbid anything happens to you over the weekend, you're dead. You're gonna be in hell. You're gonna be upside down in 3 feet of horse shit for the rest of your life.
Really?
And maybe because when I was a kid, I don't remember ever betraying. Like I don't remember ever betraying anybody's trust. Like even like now, like if you know, I'm pretty known for my integrity. You know, if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. If I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. You know, if I don't do something, I clean it up, you know, and it's usually the most horrific cleanup ever. Like, because like, I see men smile when I fuck up because it's like, ha ha, he finally fucked up. What can I, you know, and I'm like, what do you need? And they say it and I go, okay. I go, I don't think it fits the crime, but I'm like, I'll do it. And then I go like this, and I keep a fucking list.
And then we announce it on radio, live radio.
I'll get you later, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, that's it doesn't sound honorable on their side, but it sounds 100% honorable on yours. Like, willingness, I screwed up, and I want to make up for it. I mean, that's like the opposite of betrayal. It's integrity. And that's why I'm glad, you know, I belong to MDI, at least an organization that shoots towards that level. We don't always hit it, but that's at least the intent. So that's always cool. We need more of that. Less lawsuits, more people in integrity and just owning things. That would be a beautiful world.
Absolutely, man. You're awesome.
The only other thought that comes to my mind around betrayal, I remember I felt so betrayed by this girlfriend. We had moved in together, right? We moved in together, this vision of the future. Never really promised or had an engagement. There's no promise, but there's just this thought in my head, in her head, this could go, you know, long term. Turns out we break up. I move out of the house that I'm still paying rent on for another month, and she moves another guy in that she had, like, been flirting with ahead of time. So I remember thinking, I felt so betrayed by this. But when I look back, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Did she actually do anything? Did she actually break an agreement or a contract or maybe an emotional betrayal? But there was nothing that – she didn't promise me shit. So after a while, I just kind of like let it go slowly and on my way. It's just kind of interesting to really see, like, are we really betrayed? Did they really promise it, or did they not? You know, I think marriage, yes. But before that, you know, it's kind of up for grabs. So, anywho, any other thoughts on our topics today?
I just wanted to wish everybody a safe, happy St. Patrick's Day. If you're going to go off the wagon or off the rails, take an Uber or get a ride. If anybody's local, give me a call. I'm not drinking. I'll pick your ass up. Don't be a dick. Don't mess up my car, but I'll help you out. And then, and don't betray people. That's it. How about this? How about the word, the saying we say for today is don't be a dick.
Don't be. Yeah. Well, on that note, another great show. Thank you, Ricky, for our audience. Thanks for being with us. Go to Facebook, type in With All Dude Respect, and find us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you all soon. Ciao.
You too. Take care, Jimmy. Bye-bye. Take care, everybody.
Bye.